Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be taking a look at learning and development trends in Belgium for 2024.
Okay.
And you've given us a ton of great information.
Yeah.
Reports, articles, and survey data that gives a pretty interesting look at what's going on in the world of L&D.
Yeah, it really does.
So let's jump in. One thing that stood out is how L&D is becoming a strategic response to the tight labor market that we see pretty much globally now.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting to see that play out because organizations are having to get a lot more strategic with L&D.
Right.
Because of the challenges they're facing.
Yeah, it's like this global skills challenge, right? There's automation coming in and people are having to upskill and reskill all the time.
Absolutely. And it's not just technology, it's also developing those human skills that are so important, like problem solving and critical thinking.
For sure.
And collaboration.
Yeah, because those are the things that set us apart from AI, you know? Speaking of which, LinkedIn Learning found that 90% of organizations are worried about employee retention.
Wow, 90%.
And they see providing learning opportunities as a way to keep people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Right.
Creating a culture of learning can really make a difference with retention.
Yeah.
When people feel they're growing, they want to stay with a company. And companies with strong learning cultures usually have higher retention rates and more promotions.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. But here's what I don't understand.
Right.
The research from Belgium shows that L&D budgets and team sizes haven't increased, even though everyone seems to agree that learning is really important.
It is interesting that there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
It could be that companies are figuring out how to allocate those resources.
Right.
But there's definitely a disconnect between saying it's important.
Right.
And actually giving resources to it.
Well, and on that topic in the Netherlands.
Okay.
Research shows that a lot of L&D budgets are unspent. Yeah. So there's clearly a lot more that can be done.
Absolutely. There's a lot of opportunity to actually use those budgets and really make a difference.
For sure. So let's get into some of the trends that we saw in the data.
Okay.
One that stood out to me was the focus on soft skills and emotional intelligence.
Yes.
What do you think is making that so critical now?
Well, it's fascinating because as technology becomes more advanced, those human skills are becoming even more important.
Right.
Communication, collaboration, critical thinking.
Yeah.
You know, emotional intelligence. All of those are really hard to automate.
Yeah. And Josh Burson actually calls those power skills, not soft skills.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do too.
Because they are skills that last.
Yes. They really are crucial for navigating complexity and solving problems and building relationships.
It's not just for employees. Either the fastest growing skills for L&D professionals are things like interpersonal skills, presentation skills, and people management.
Wow. So they need to have the skills.
They have to embody what they're teaching.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. So another big one is agile reskilling and upskilling.
Yes.
This is huge globally,
yeah.
But in Belgium, it ranked really low.
It did.
Why do you think that is?
It's surprising given how much emphasis there is on reskilling and upskilling.
Right.
Globally, the World Economic Forum is emphasizing that Udemy business.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that Belgium is just lagging behind other countries.
Maybe so, but globally, the shift toward a skills-based approach is happening. So Belgium will have to catch up.
It seems like it, yeah.
So another one that popped up was lifelong learning.
Okay.
And this was the second most important trend in Belgium.
Wow.
And especially for internal L&D professionals.
Interesting.
What's driving this?
I think this is a fundamental shift in how we think about learning and development.
Yeah.
It's moving away from these one-off training events and towards learning as a continuous process.
Yeah.
And organizations are starting to recognize that skills need updating all the time.
For sure.
And see L&D as an ongoing investment. Yeah, it's not just a one-time expense anymore.
Right.
So we need to empower employees to keep learning.
Absolutely, and give them autonomy in their learning journey.
Hmm.
And leadership support is crucial to make that successful.
Okay, so there are a few obstacles to that, though.
What are those?
The big three are lack of time, lack of support from managers, and lack of intrinsic motivation.
Right.
Have you seen those?
Oh, absolutely. Those are common challenges. And it really starts with recognizing that a strong learning culture is a shared responsibility.
So it's not all on the L&D team?
Definitely not. It's a collaborative effort.
Okay.
From leadership managers and employees.
So how do we get past those barriers and create a culture where learning is valued?
Well, I think a key is addressing the time issue.
Okay.
Managers have to make space for learning.
Yeah.
They need to prioritize learning and encourage their people to learn.
So they have to walk the walk.
Exactly.
Not just talk the talk.
Yes.
In one of the sources, there's a checklist for managers to become effective learning leaders.
I like that.
Things like feedback, encouraging experimentation, and celebrating learning achievements.
Those are all really important.
Yeah. And what about that motivation problem? How do you get people excited about learning when they already feel swamped?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
But connecting learning to career goals is really important.
Okay.
When employees see how it can help them, they're more likely to do it.
So make it relevant.
Exactly. Yeah. Show them what's in it for them.
Yeah.
Help them make plans for their development.
Okay.
And recognize their achievements.
So make it a part of their growth.
Exactly. Create a culture where learning is celebrated.
Okay. So we can't ignore technology.
Of course not.
The ed tech market is booming and companies are investing more.
They are.
What do you think is behind that?
Technology offers flexibility, accessibility, and a wider range of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it to track and analyze learning in amazing ways.
Yeah, but one of your sources said that only a small amount of L&D budgets go to technology. Do you think there's room for more?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe organizations are still catching up, or maybe they need to think differently about how those budgets are allocated.
Okay, well, let's talk about the hottest topic.
Okay.
Artificial intelligence.
Of course.
AI has become the top priority for 2024, according to all these global surveys.
Isn't that surprising?
Yeah.
Generative AI has made this technology available.
Right.
In ways we've never seen before.
It's not just hype either.
Right.
Data shows a huge increase in AI adoption within L&D.
Yeah, companies are really using it.
It's not just talk anymore.
Exactly.
It seems like AI is here to stay.
I think so, too.
And you've got a breakdown of the most popular AI applications in L&D.
Yes, from learning design and content creation to personalized learning paths and even administrative automation.
That's huge.
It is. And it's a really diverse landscape.
Right.
L&D professionals need to explore these applications and see how they can use them.
Okay, so now something specific to Belgium. The government has a couple of initiatives to promote learning.
Mm-hmm.
The labor deal and the federal learning account, or FLA.
Right.
What are these programs and how has the L&D community responded to them?
The labor deal is interesting because it gives employees a legal right to training time.
Really?
Yes, 5 days.
Wow.
And the FLA aims to keep track of training funds.
Okay.
The labor deal has been well received, though some people are wondering what the impact will be.
Yeah, I could see that. And the FLA.
The FLA has actually received a lot of negative feedback.
Oh, wow.
Organizations are worried about how complex it is and the administrative burden it puts on them.
Yeah, so it sounds like the labor deal might be promising, but the FLA might not be so great.
Yeah, it highlights the fact that you need input from L&D professionals
mm-hmm.
before implementing big initiatives like this.
It has to be practical for the people using it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it shows that we need more communication and collaboration.
Absolutely.
To make sure learning initiatives are beneficial.
Yes, we're all in this together.
Okay, let's move on to diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI.
Okay.
This is becoming really important everywhere.
Yes.
And L&D has a role to play.
It does. Organizations are realizing they need to create inclusive and equitable learning experiences.
So it's not just about training on DEI.
Right.
It's about incorporating those principles into the core of L&D.
Exactly.
How are companies doing this?
Well, one important area is content.
Okay.
It needs to be free from bias and reflect a variety of perspectives.
So everyone feels represented.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Organizations are offering learning opportunities that are relevant to diverse learners.
Okay. So meeting specific needs.
Yes. Like courses on cultural awareness, unconscious bias, and inclusive leadership.
So it's really about creating a culture where DEI is valued.
Absolutely.
Okay, so earlier we talked about L&D being aligned with business goals.
Right.
Companies are saying this is important.
Yes.
But are they actually doing it?
That's a good question. And I think it's one every L&D professional should ask.
Yeah.
Are we really contributing to the organization's success? Are we measuring our impact?
So are we proving our worth?
Exactly.
It's not just about training.
No, it's about results.
Okay, so what's the answer? How do we overcome these obstacles and create a learning culture?
Well, we need a mindset shift. We need to see ourselves as strategic business partners, not just trainers.
Okay, so speak their language.
Yes, understand the business challenges and show how L&D can help.
So show them the value, not just the cost.
Right.
Be proactive, not reactive.
Absolutely.
Okay, so another trend. is learning in the flow of work.
Yes.
What is that and how is it changing things?
It's about making learning part of the daily workflow.
Okay.
Not a separate event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continuous and on demand.
So instead of pulling people out of their work,
right.
You're bringing learning to them.
Exactly.
Okay, so give me an example.
Sure. It could be as simple as providing job aids.
Okay.
Checklists or how-to videos.
Okay.
Right in the workflow.
Yeah. So it's accessible and just in time.
Exactly.
They get what they need when they need it.
Yes.
That's cool. What are the benefits?
Well, it's definitely more efficient.
Okay.
They don't have to stop working to learn, and they're more likely to apply it right away.
Right. So it's a win-win.
Exactly.
Employees get the training and organizations get better performance.
Exactly. And it can also boost engagement and motivation.
So it's about making learning relevant.
Yes. It's about giving them the skills to succeed.
And that can have a positive impact on the whole organization.
Absolutely.
Speaking of impact, let's talk about evaluation.
Okay.
We've seen that companies are getting better at measuring the results of learning.
Yes.
But are they using that information to improve their programs?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of organizations are still struggling with that.
Really?
Yes, evaluation is important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only valuable if you use it to make decisions and improve things.
Right. So it's not just about the data.
No.
It's about what you do with it.
Exactly.
So what are some practical ways companies can improve their evaluation?
Well, first you need clear learning objectives
okay. That
are tied to business outcomes.
So start with the end in mind.
Exactly. And then choose evaluation methods that measure whether you're hitting those goals.
Okay, makes sense. What else?
You should also collect data throughout the learning process.
Oh, interesting.
Not just at the end.
Mm.
That way you can see where people are struggling and make changes as you go.
So get a bigger picture.
Exactly. And use different evaluation methods,
both
quantitative and qualitative, to get a deeper understanding.
So get the numbers and the stories.
Yes. And involve stakeholders in the process.
Okay.
Get their feedback and use it to improve things.
So it's a collaborative effort.
Absolutely. Everyone needs to be involved.
So create a culture of continuous improvement.
Yes. Always look for ways to make your L&D programs better.
And that's how we show the value of L&D.
Exactly.
And make sure it's contributing to the success of the business.
That's the goal.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so one more trend before we wrap up this part.
Okay.
Informal learning.
Yes, this is often overlooked.
We tend to focus so much on those formal programs.
We do, but informal learning is really important.
Right, so what is informal learning exactly?
It's all the learning that happens outside of formal settings.
Okay.
You know, through our everyday interactions, our experiences, our conversations.
Right.
It just happens naturally.
So it's learning in the flow of life.
Exactly. And research shows that most learning actually happens this way.
Really? Wow. So it's not just about what we learn in a classroom or online.
No, it's about what we learn from each other.
And from our experiences.
Exactly.
So as L&D professionals, what should we do about that?
We need to recognize and support it.
Okay, how?
Create opportunities for peer-to-peer learning.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage people to share their knowledge.
Right.
And provide resources.
So make it easy for people to learn from each other.
Exactly. Create a culture where learning is just part of what we do.
Makes sense. And it seems like a great place to stop for this part of the deep dive.
It does. It's a great starting point, for sure.
It is. Okay, so moving on. One of the sources you gave me talked about the importance of data analytics.
Okay.
It seems like a lot of companies are struggling to make sense of all the data they're collecting.
Yeah. You know, they're drowning in data.
Yeah.
But they're thirsting for insights.
Totally. So what can the L&D professionals do about that?
Well, we need to get better at data literacy.
Okay.
You know, we need to analyze and interpret that data, find trends and draw conclusions.
Right. It's not just about collecting it.
No, it's about using it.
So we need to be able to tell the story of the data.
Exactly.
And connect those learning programs to actual business outcomes.
Yes. And when you can do that, you can really make a case for the value of L&D.
Right. And that brings us to the age-old challenge of getting buy-in from stakeholders.
Yes.
How do we convince those business leaders that L&D is worth investing in?
Well, it starts with understanding the business, speaking their language.
Yeah.
Understanding their challenges and showing them how L&D can help.
So be business savvy.
Exactly.
Not just L&D savvy.
Right.
And it's about building relationships.
It is. You know, get out of the L&D silo.
Right.
Build relationships with business leaders.
Uh-huh.
Get to know them, understand their needs.
So be a relationship builder.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what?
And then demonstrate the value.
Okay.
Show them how your work is making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use metrics.
Okay.
Share success stories.
Right.
highlight the impact on the business.
So prove your worth.
Exactly.
Be persistent.
Be persistent.
Yeah.
And it takes time
right.
to build trust and credibility,
yeah.
but it's so important.
So one of your sources talked about the rise of the gig economy.
Okay.
And how that's impacting L&D.
It is changing things.
Right. The whole employer-employee dynamic is shifting.
Yeah, it is.
So L&D has to adapt.
It does.
What are some of the challenges with that?
Well, one big one is that gig workers often don't have the same access to learning opportunities.
Okay.
As traditional employees.
So that could create a skills gap.
Yes, potentially.
Okay, and what else?
Well, gig work is often project-based.
Right.
So they need to learn new skills quickly
mm-hmm.
and be adaptable.
So L&D has to be agile, too.
It does.
Okay. But there are also some opportunities, right?
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, the gig economy is driving demand for new types of learning. Micro-learning online communities,
mm-hmm.
peer-to-peer platforms.
Okay, so it's pushing L&D to innovate.
It is. We need to be flexible,
mm-hmm.
accessible,
okay.
and meet the needs of these new workers.
And we need to remember that learning happens everywhere.
It does.
Not just in the workplace.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about automation.
Of course.
It's changing the nature of work.
Yeah.
But it's also impacting L&D.
It is, in a couple of ways.
Like how?
Well, on the one hand, it's creating demand for new skills.
Okay.
As workers adapt to technology and AI.
So it's reskilling and upskilling again.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. But on the other hand,
it's also changing how L&D works.
Right? Like AI is being used to automate L&D tasks.
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. What does it mean for L&D professionals?
Yeah. What's our role going to be if AI can do so much?
Right.
I think we need to focus on what can't be automated.
Okay.
The human side of things.
The human side, yeah.
Like coaching, mentoring,
mm-hmm.
fostering a love of learning.
You know, inspiring people.
Yeah.
That's something AI can't do.
Right. And we also need to embrace the opportunities that AI presents.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, it can free up time for more strategic tasks.
Okay.
Like designing better learning experiences,
mm-hmm.
building relationships,
okay.
measuring the impact of L&D.
So move from the tactical to the strategic.
Exactly.
But that human element is always going to be important.
Yes, always, even in a world of AI.
Right, because people need guidance and support.
They do, and inspiration.
Yeah, so it's about finding that balance between technology and human interaction.
It is.
And using technology to make us better.
Yes. Not to replace us.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of different pieces of the puzzle.
We have.
But there's one that ties it all together.
What's that?
A strong learning culture.
Of course.
How do we build that?
Well, you need to create an environment.
Okay.
Where learning is valued, encouraged, and supported at every level.
So make it part of the DNA of the organization.
Exactly.
Yeah, not just something extra.
Right. And it has to be a culture where people feel safe.
Safe how?
Safe to experiment, safe to fail, safe to learn from mistakes.
So psychological safety.
Yes.
And a growth mindset.
Absolutely. Where people aren't afraid to try new things.
Right.
To ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to not be perfect.
And that takes leadership commitment.
It does.
And employee empowerment. Okay, yeah. So it's a big undertaking.
It is, but it's so worth it.
So we're basically creating a culture
yeah.
where learning is just how things are done.
Yes, exactly. A way of life.
I love that. Okay, so another key ingredient.
Okay.
Coaching and mentoring.
Yes.
They can be incredibly effective.
They can be, but you can't just pair people up randomly.
Right, there has to be a plan.
A framework for success.
Exactly. Yeah. So how do you make it work?
Well, you need to train your coaches and mentors.
Okay.
Give them the skills they need to support their mentees.
So invest in their development.
Yes. And you need to define clear goals.
Okay.
For the relationship, what are you trying to achieve?
Right. So have a roadmap for the journey.
Exactly. Yeah. And you need to build trust.
Okay.
And open communication.
Mm-hmm.
So the mentee feels safe.
Right. So psychological safety again.
It's so important.
Yeah. And then what?
And then provide support and resources.
Okay.
You know, tools, resources,
mm-hmm.
communities of practice.
So a whole support system.
Yes. And you need to measure the impact,
right.
track outcomes, and make changes as needed.
So be data-driven.
Exactly.
And remember that coaching and mentoring aren't one size fits all.
Right. Different people need different things.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some cool technology.
Okay.
Virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yes. They hold so much potential for L&D.
Right. But are they living up to the hype?
I think it's still early days.
Okay.
You know, we're still figuring out how to use them effectively.
So we need to experiment and explore.
We do.
Okay. So what are some promising applications?
Well, VR is great for creating immersive learning experiences.
Okay.
Simulating real-world scenarios.
Mm.
So learners can practice in a safe environment.
So it's learning by doing.
Yes, but virtually.
And it can make learning more engaging and memorable.
Absolutely.
Okay, what about AR?
AR is really interesting for learning in the flow of work.
Okay.
Providing information and guidance right when they need it.
Just in time.
Exactly.
Okay. And what else?
It can create interactive training experiences.
Okay.
Blending the real and virtual worlds.
That sounds cool.
It is.
But there are some challenges.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Well, it's expensive.
Okay.
To develop and deploy VR and AR.
Right. So the cost of creating those experiences can be a barrier.
Yes. And you also need specialized hardware and software.
Okay. So it's not always accessible?
Not yet.
Okay.
But as the technology gets cheaper and easier to use,
okay,
we'll see more adoption.
Okay, so another big challenge we hear about all the time is measuring the return on investment, or ROI, of L&D programs.
Yes, it's crucial, but it can be tricky.
Right, because organizations want data.
They do.
But proving the value of learning can be tough.
It can be.
So how do we do it?
Well, you need to start with clear learning objectives that are tied to business goals.
Right. So start with the end in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. And then use different types of data to measure the impact, learner feedback performance data.
Okay.
Business metrics.
So get a complete picture.
Yes. And tell a story with that data.
Right. Connect the dots.
Exactly. Show how L&D is making a difference.
And remember, it's an ongoing process.
It is. You should always be evaluating and making adjustments.
Okay. So another trend that's been growing.
What's that?
Mobile learning.
Ah, yes. Mobile learning.
Right. Everyone has a smartphone.
It seems like it.
So how can we use mobile learning to our advantage?
Well, mobile learning has really changed how people learn.
Yeah.
It's flexible.
Uh-huh.
It's accessible.
Okay.
It's personalized.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes learning more convenient and engaging.
So you can meet learners where they are.
Exactly. Give them access to learning anytime, anywhere.
Right. So it's learning on the go.
Yes, they can fit it into their busy schedules.
So take advantage of those downtimes.
Exactly.
You know, like commuting or waiting in line.
Absolutely.
And you can tailor the content to their needs.
Yes, personalize it.
Right.
And you can deliver all kinds of content, videos, podcasts, interactive exercises, even VR.
So it opens up a lot of possibilities.
It does. We can break free from the classroom
and
use mobile technology to create amazing learning experiences.
Okay. But there are some things to keep in mind, right?
There are.
Like what?
Well, you have to think about screen size.
Okay.
And bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the content is easy to use on a small screen.
Right. Optimize for the mobile experience.
Exactly. And you have to make sure it's accessible.
Right.
To everyone.
For people with disabilities.
Yes.
So it's inclusivity.
Yes.
Okay. But as mobile technology improves, we can expect to see even more innovation.
Absolutely. I think we're just scratching the surface.
Okay, so let's go back to the idea of continuous learning.
Okay.
We talked about the importance of lifelong learning.
We did.
But how do we actually make learning part of everyday work?
Right. Well, it's a mindset shift.
Okay.
We have to move away from the idea that learning only happens in formal settings.
Yeah.
And embrace the idea that it's an ongoing process that happens all the time.
So make it part of how we do things.
Exactly. And create a culture where people feel safe to experiment,
mm-hmm.
to fail and learn from their mistakes.
So psychological safety again?
That's so important.
Yeah, and a growth mindset.
Absolutely, where it's okay to not be perfect.
Yes, to try new things and ask questions.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so how do we build this culture?
Well, it takes leadership commitment, employee empowerment, a focus on continuous learning, and a willingness to try new things.
So it's a big cultural shift.
It is.
But it's essential for success.
I agree.
Okay, so let's wrap things up by talking about the future of L&D.
The future, yes.
What are the big trends and challenges?
Well, the future is exciting and full of possibilities, but it's also changing really fast.
Right, the world is changing faster than ever before.
It is, and L&D needs to keep up.
So we need to be adaptable.
We do.
Embrace new technologies.
Yes.
And never stop learning.
Exactly, be lifelong learners ourselves.
And we need to be data-driven.
Yes, use data to make decisions, to measure impact.
Right, and be agile.
Agile, yes.
That old slow L&D model doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't.
We have to be quick,
We do.
And responsive.
And we have to focus on the learner experience.
Right, because learners have more choices now than ever before.
They do.
Yeah.
So we have to create experiences that are engaging.
Yeah.
Personalized, impactful.
Right, so we're not just trainers.
No.
We're experience designers.
Yes.
And we have to collaborate.
Redo. L&D can't be a silo.
Right. We need to work with business leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Subject matter experts. Technology providers.
Yes, everyone.
So build those bridges.
Absolutely.
And most importantly.
What's that?
We have to be passionate about learning.
Yes.
And committed to making a difference.
Absolutely. Be champions for learning.
Okay. Well said. So let's talk about something we haven't covered yet.
Okay.
Informal learning.
Oh, yes.
We tend to focus so much on formal programs.
We do.
But informal learning can be just as important.
It can be even more so.
Really? So what is it exactly?
Yeah. It's all the learning that happens outside of formal settings.
All right. Give me some examples.
Sure. It's the learning we do through our daily interactions.
Okay.
Or experiences, mm-hmm. our conversations, our observations.
Right.
It just happens naturally.
So it's learning in the flow of life.
Exactly.
Not just in a classroom.
Right.
And research shows that most learning actually happens this way.
It does, which is amazing.
Yeah, so it's not just about structured learning.
No, it's about what we learn from each other and from our experiences.
So as L&D professionals, how should we approach this?
We need to support it.
Okay.
Create opportunities for people to learn from each other.
Okay.
You know, peer-to-peer learning, mm-hmm. knowledge sharing.
Right.
And provide resources.
So build a culture of learning.
Exactly. Where learning is just part of what we do.
All right. So another big topic in L&D.
Okay.
Data analytics.
Yes.
Companies are collecting a lot of data.
A lot.
But are they using it effectively?
That's the question. And honestly, a lot of them aren't.
They're not.
No, they're struggling to make sense of it.
So again, it's not just about the data.
Right.
It's about what you do with it.
Exactly.
How do we make data work for L&D?
Well, we need to develop data literacy skills.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It means being able to analyze and interpret data,
uh-huh.
identify trends, draw conclusions,
okay.
and communicate those insights to others.
So become data storytellers.
Yes.
And we need the right tools.
We do.
What kind of tools?
Learning analytics platforms.
Okay.
Data visualization software.
Mm-hmm.
Even just spreadsheets.
So it's about skills, tools, and mindset.
Absolutely.
And we need to use data ethically.
Yes.
Respect privacy and make sure it's improving the learning experience.
Exactly. Data for good.
Right. Not just for tracking compliance.
No.
Okay. So let's talk about something we hear a lot about in L&D.
What's that?
Getting buy-in from stakeholders.
Oh, yes. The eternal struggle.
Right. How do we get those business leaders on board?
Well, it's a multifaceted approach. But I think it starts with understanding their world.
Okay. So speak their language.
Exactly. What are their challenges?
Mm-hmm.
How can L&D help?
So be business savvy.
Yes.
Right.
And build relationships. Get out of your silo.
Right.
Talk to them. Get to know them.
Be a relationship builder.
Yeah. And show them the value of L&D.
Okay.
You know, use data to tell the story.
Right. Prove your worth.
Exactly. And be persistent.
It takes time to build trust.
It does. But it's worth it.
Okay. So another trend that's changing the L&D landscape.
Okay.
The rise of the gig economy.
Yes. The gig economy is here to stay.
Right. And it's changing how we work and learn.
It is.
So how is L&D adapting?
Well, there are challenges.
Like what?
One big one is access to learning opportunities.
Right. A lot of gig workers don't have the same access as traditional employees.
They don't. And that could create a skills gap.
Right. And what else?
Well, gig work is often project-based.
Yeah.
So workers need to be adaptable
mm-hmm.
and learn new skills quickly.
So agility is essential.
It is.
And L&D needs to support that.
Yes. We need to give them the tools and resources.
Right. To succeed in this new environment.
Exactly.
But there are opportunities too, right?
Where are they? Well, the gig economy is creating a demand for new types of learning.
Okay. Like
micro learning, online communities, mm-hmm. peer-to-peer learning platforms.
So L&D is having to innovate.
We need to be more flexible, mm-hmm. more accessible.
Okay.
And responsive to the needs of gig workers.
And remember, learning isn't confined to the workplace anymore.
It's not.
Gig workers are learning all the time.
They are through their work,
mm-hmm.
their hobbies, their networks.
So it's really about lifelong learning.
Learning can happen anywhere, anytime.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about automation.
Okay. Automation again.
It's changing the nature of work.
Yes.
But it's also changing the L&D field itself.
It is a bit scary, isn't it?
It is a little bit. So how is it impacting us?
Well, it's creating a demand for new skills. Because workers need to adapt to new technologies.
Yeah, to work with AI and robots.
Yeah, exactly. So reskilling and upskilling are really important.
Right.
But automation is also being used in L&D itself.
Oh, wow.
AI is being used to create content.
Okay.
To personalize learning recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Even to provide learner support.
So AI is doing our jobs.
It's starting to.
So what does that mean for the future of L&D?
It's a good question. What will our role be?
Right.
I think we need to focus on the human elements.
Okay.
The things that AI can't do.
Right, like coaching and mentoring.
Yes, those are crucial.
And creating a love of learning.
Inspiring people to learn.
Right.
That's something AI can't replicate.
And we can use AI to our advantage.
Absolutely.
To free up our time.
Yes.
So we can focus on those higher level tasks.
Strategy design.
Right.
Yielding relationships.
So move from tactical to strategic.
Exactly.
But never forget that human connection.
Never.
That's what makes L&D special. So how do we build that strong learning culture we've been talking about?
Well, you need to create an environment.
Okay.
Where learning is valued and encouraged at every level.
So make it part of the company's DNA.
Exactly.
Not just an afterthought.
Right. And make it a safe place to learn.
Safe to what?
Safe to experiment.
Uh-huh.
To fail.
Okay.
To ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
To not be perfect.
So psychological safety.
Absolutely.
And a growth mindset.
Yes, where people feel empowered to learn and grow.
And that takes leadership commitment.
It does. Leaders have to set the tone.
Right.
And support L&D.
Okay. So it's a big undertaking.
It is, but it's so important.
It's about creating a culture where learning is just how we do things.
Yes.
A way of life.
I love that. Okay, so another important element.
What's that?
Coaching and mentoring.
Ah, yes.
They can be so powerful.
Right, but it takes more than just pairing people up.
It does. You need a plan.
A framework.
Exactly. So what are the keys to success?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, you need to train your coaches and mentors.
Okay.
Make sure they have the skills to guide their mentees.
So invest in their development.
Exactly.
Okay, and what else?
Define clear goals for the relationship.
Okay.
What are you trying to achieve?
Right. So set expectations.
Yes. And create a safe space for the mentee.
So psychological safety.
Again, yes.
Okay. What else?
Provide ongoing support and resources,
mm-hmm.
tools,
okay.
resources,
mm-hmm.
communities of practice.
So a whole support network.
Yes.
And measure the impact.
Yes. Track outcomes.
Okay.
See what's working.
So be data-driven.
Exactly.
And remember that it's not one size fits all.
It's not.
Okay, well, let's shift gears a bit and talk about some cool technology.
Okay.
Virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yes. VR and AR.
They've been getting a lot of attention.
A lot of hype.
Right. But are they really living up to it?
I think it's still early.
Okay.
We're still exploring the possibilities.
Right, so we need to experiment.
We do.
And figure out what works. Okay, so what are some promising applications?
Well, VR is great for immersive learning.
Okay.
You can simulate real-world scenarios
uh-huh.
so learners can practice in a safe environment.
So it's learning by doing?
Exactly.
But in a virtual world.
Yes.
And VR can make learning more engaging and memorable.
It can.
Okay, what about AR?
AR is great for learning in the flow of work.
Okay.
You know, providing just-in-time information.
Right.
Right when they need it.
Okay. And what else?
You can use it to create interactive training experiences.
Okay.
Blending the real and virtual worlds.
So it's pretty cool.
It is.
But there are some challenges.
There are.
Like what?
Well, the cost is a big one.
Okay.
Developing and deploying VR and AR can be expensive.
Right. So the cost of creation is a barrier.
Yes. And you need special hardware and software.
Okay, so it's not always accessible.
No, but it's getting better.
Okay, as technology evolves,
yes,
we'll see more adoption.
I think so.
Okay, let's talk about a challenge that never seems to go away.
Okay, what's that?
Measuring the ROI of L&D.
Oh, yes, measuring the impact.
Right? Companies want data.
They do.
But proving the value of learning is tough.
It can be.
So how do we do it?
Well, you need clear learning objectives
okay.
that are aligned with business goals.
So start with the end in mind.
Exactly. What are we trying to achieve?
Right.
And then use different types of data to measure the impact.
Like what?
Learner feedback.
Okay.
Performance data.
Mm-hmm.
Business metrics.
So get a full picture,
yeah.
not just one data point.
Right. And then tell a story with that data.
Okay.
Connect the dots, show how learning is impacting the business.
So be a data storyteller.
Exactly.
And remember, it's an ongoing process.
It is. You should always be evaluating and adjusting.
Okay, so one more trend that's been really popular.
Okay.
Mobile learning.
Yes, mobile learning.
Right? Everyone has a smartphone these days.
It seems like it.
So how can we make the most of that?
Well, mobile learning has really changed how people learn.
How so?
It's flexible.
Okay.
It's accessible, mm-hmm. and it's personal.
Okay.
It's more convenient and engaging.
So you can meet learners where they are.
Exactly.
Give them access anytime, anywhere.
Yes.
So it's learning on the go.
Exactly.
Take advantage of those little pockets of time.
Exactly.
Like commuting or waiting in line.
Absolutely. And you can tailor the content to their needs.
Right. So make it personalized.
Yes.
And mobile learning can deliver all sorts of content.
It can. Videos, podcasts.
Okay.
Interactive exercises, even VR.
So it opens up a whole world of possibilities.
It does.
We can break free from the classroom.
Yes.
And create really engaging learning experiences.
Exactly.
Okay. But there are some things to consider, right?
There are.
Like what?
Well, you have to design for small screens.
Okay.
And limited bandwidth.
Right. So optimize for the mobile experience.
Exactly.
And make sure it's accessible for everyone, including people with disabilities.
Absolutely.
So as mobile technology gets better,
yes,
we'll see even more innovation.
I think so, too.
Okay, so let's circle back to the idea of continuous learning.
Okay.
We talked about the importance of lifelong learning.
We did.
But how do we actually embed learning into everyday work?
Right. This is a cultural shift.
Okay.
We need to move away from the idea that learning only happens in formal settings.
Right.
And embrace the idea that it's an ongoing process
mm-hmm.
that happens all the time.
So learning is just how we do things.
Exactly. A way of life.
And it has to be safe. To learn?
It does. Safe to experiment.
Right.
To fail to ask questions.
So psychological safety and a growth mindset
yeah.
where it's okay to not be perfect.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do we build that culture?
It takes leadership commitment.
Okay.
Employee empowerment.
Right.
A focus on continuous learning
mm-hmm.
and a willingness to try new things.
Yes.
And a willingness to embrace new technologies and approaches.
Okay, so it's about creating a culture where learning is woven into everything we do.
Absolutely. It should be valued, supported, and celebrated.
Right. Learning a way of life.
Exactly.
Not just another task on the to-do list.
Right.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
But before we wrap up, I want to touch on one more crucial element.
Okay.
The human element.
The human element, yes.
In a world that's increasingly driven by technology.
Right.
We can't forget the importance of human connection in L&D.
It's what makes it special.
It is. So how do we nurture that human element?
Well, I think it starts with recognizing that learning is a social process.
Okay.
People learn best when they're connected with others.
Mm-hmm.
When they can share ideas,
right.
ask questions,
okay.
get feedback and support.
So it's about creating those opportunities for connection.
Yes, exactly.
And it's about fostering a sense of community.
Yes, a community of learners.
Right, where everyone feels supported and valued.
Absolutely.
And it's about recognizing the importance of empathy and compassion in the learning process.
Yes, those are essential qualities for any L&D professional.
Right, because learning can be challenging.
It can be.
And people need support.
They do.
To overcome those challenges.
And when we create that supportive environment,
mm-hmm.
when we foster those human connections,
yeah.
we unlock the true power of learning.
I love that. And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
It is a good note.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of L&D in Belgium for 2024.
It's been a pleasure.
We've covered a lot of ground, from the skills gap and the rise of AI to the importance of continuous learning and the power of data.
We have.
And as always, we hope you've gained some valuable insights.
Yes, some food for thought.
That you can apply to your own L&D journey.
Absolutely.
The future of learning is in our hands.
It is.
And by working together, by embracing innovation, and by never forgetting the human element.
The human element.
We can create a brighter future for L&D.
A brighter future for everyone.
Well said. Thank you again for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.